Our headlines don't make great reading, do they? A lot of people have actually started rationing the news for themselves because it can become overwhelming. We hear the statistics, those grim statistics. And then when you stop and think, when you realize the grief and suffering which lies behind those statistics, when you realize that many of us are now having personal connections with those who grieve and suffer, it can all be overwhelming. It's hard to find any topic of conversation other than the pandemic that is unfolding around us. For all of the things which we planned, all of the things which we had hoped for are now gone. Is it any wonder that we can be confused, anxious, distrustful, fearful? Luke records this lovely event on the road to Emmaus. Two people are walking back to their village from Jerusalem, and as they walk along together, they talk about everything that had happened. It was hard to talk about anything else. All that had happened in Jerusalem was uppermost in their minds, and they were struggling to try and make some sort of sense of it, struggling to come to terms with all that was going on around them, the turmoil, the chaos. The events of those last days had left them confused, anxious, maybe fearful. And you can picture them trudging along that road, heads down, shoulders slumped. Then they're joined by Jesus, who walked along with them. And he simply asks them, "What are you talking about?" And they stop, faces downcast. Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" We might say, "You must be from a different planet if you don't know what's going on." And they blurt it all out. All the things about Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death. And they crucified him. And then they make this telling statement. "We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." And their mood is summed up in three words: "We had hoped." Those three words are on the lips and in the minds of so many today. We had hoped. All the things that we had planned for the days ahead, all the things that we had looked forward to, all the things that we thought we could do, most of them are at best now put on hold. We had hoped. Some of these things may, in the whole scheme of things, be trivial. Others may be life-changing. We had hoped. Past tense. It's gone now. As he walks with this couple on the road to Emmaus, Jesus listens and then replies, "How foolish you are. How slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. In these days, when we are bombarded with news and information from so many different sources, we need to be those who know and read and love the scriptures. For there we find the truth. There we find the truth not only about Jesus, we find the truth about ourselves. when Jesus and the couple reach Emmaus, they invite him to stay with them, have something to eat. And we read he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And they recognized him. And he disappeared as quickly as he had appeared. Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They changed. They have met with the risen Christ. They've just dragged their heels all the way from Jerusalem to Emmaus, but now they turn around, they head back to Jerusalem, no longer downcast, no longer dragging their feet. No longer do they talk of what they had hoped for. Now they talk of Jesus being with them. For them, having a risen, living Savior was not a theory, was not a dry philosophy, it was a reality. For us, having that same risen, living Savior is not some dry statement. It's not a box to be ticked in a Sunday school exam. It is the reality. Not only is he risen and living, but he walks along with us. He listens when we say we had hoped. And he leads us to that heartwarming understanding and experience of his unfailing love for us. These are undoubtedly strange, difficult days. And there are plenty of ideas and philosophies claiming to understand what is going on around us. And it can be tempting to take it in, but it's clutching at straws. In his gospel, John records a time when people started to fall away from Jesus. When people started no longer to follow him, life was just getting too hard. And Jesus asked his disciples, "Do you want to leave too?" And Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." We need to trust the Savior. We need to read and know and believe the very word of God. The catching the wave material that so many of us have been using over the period of Lent has been so amazing. How often have the daily readings, prepared a long time before this crisis hit, how often have those readings been just what we wanted to hear? How often have those readings meshed in with what's going on around us? God's word addressing the issues we were facing. We need to know, to love, and to live his word. I talked with one of our members on the phone this last week. His voice trembled as he asked me, "Stephen, is this the end of the world?" I've been asked many things, but I think that's a first. He was serious. I told him I didn't know. In fact, the Bible says that not even Jesus knows when that will be. Our work is to be ready whenever that day comes, whether it's sooner or later. We need to trust the Savior, the one who has risen again, the one whom to know is eternal life, the one who walks with us, the one who understands that our hopes are dashed, but who gives us a greater, unshakable hope. Just this morning, just before we came onto the service, I had a phone call from an old man who lives on his own. And he said, "Stephen, I'm on my own, but I'm never alone, for I rest in the promises of God. I trust in Jesus." As we go through these hard days, we need to be those who know where our hope is, those who almost certainly pray for the science, those who pray for those who serve us, those who live and make acts of compassion. We need to be all these things, but supremely, we need to be those who trust in Jesus, the risen and living Savior. And then we can sing the old chorus with joy in our hearts. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. May God give us each one the grace to meet with that risen and living Savior. May we have that life-changing time with him, so that we are no longer downcast, but rather our eyes are lifted and fixed upon the one who is the author and finisher of our faith. And to him alone be all praise and glory.